And welcome to the Girls in Movement podcast. We have a very wonderful guest for you today that has actually been named as one of the top 200 women to impact business and industry by Her Majesty the Queen. It's quite a title to have. So when I was actually reading about my guest today, I was amazed by the amount of work this individual has done when it comes to leading the way for women and making a real impact. She's the founder of Aspire Foundation, which is also an ambassador for Women for Women International. And on top of that, she's got an international best-selling book called Radio Heaven. This individual does not set low targets, and her and her team are looking to impact 1 billion women by 2020. And on that note, let me welcome Dr. Sam Collins onto the show. How are you, Sam?
I'm well. I'm exhausted listening to your introduction of me.
Oh, no, it's exciting.
It's a good job I've got a good team.
That's the cut short version. So,
yeah, what is it your audience would most love to know?
So, I mean, from usually from the first sort of questions that I like to ask my guests is before they kind of got to the place that where you are now, it'd be exciting to know your sort of journey before. So, obviously, before the title of Trailblazing Women came around and becoming that sort of leader and spokesperson, what were you doing before this? And what was the first sort of steps into this industry?
Well, I founded Aspire 17 years ago. I was 29 at the time, so this is pretty much my, always been my career. Yeah. So I had a pretty normal upbringing, grew up on a council estate in England, in South England, and, you know, I went to school. I was always like one of those kids who had a strong sense of fairness. So I was always, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and very sort of strong opinions at an early age. My dad said that I was quite a, unquote, difficult child, but I think that's probably a bit of a claim to fame when I think about it now. Went to uni, went to Liverpool University, wanted to get sort of quite far away from the south of England at the time. So always loved to travel, went up to university in Liverpool, did business. Degree. In my final year of university, my mum died really suddenly. She died by suicide, which was really sort of a dramatic turning point for me. So I ended up perhaps not going on the same sort of career path as a lot of my friends at university at the time, and actually ended up going off traveling around the world and, you know, doing a sort of having a gap year, which turned into 4 years. So when I got back to London after having traveled for 4 years, I was really low on confidence and didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I ended up doing quite a few different jobs really until I discovered what I really loved doing was helping people and making a difference. So that's hence I started Aspire when I was 29. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, a lot of people said I was too young to start my own business, or that having an organization that was about empowering women would not work because it was only women and that would never work. Clearly didn't really listen to them, but anyway. So yeah, I'm really glad that I did obviously do that, because 17 years later, here we are. And as you know, from everything that's going on in the world for women right now, yeah, it's a very critical and important topic. So it was not as, let's say, cool or trendy to talk about it as it is today. So yeah, we've been waiting for this moment for many a year. Yeah. So it's great to see the momentum building among both women and men around the world.
Definitely. And I suppose you were kind of ahead of the curve a bit when it came to kind of putting this news out there, I suppose, of kind of influential women within the workplace and kind of the importance of women within business as well. So it's very cool. I mean, in terms of Aspire, for listeners that don't know, how does it work? Is it a platform or is it kind of a community?
Yeah, Aspire, well, essentially at our core, we are a leadership development organization which has the purpose of empowering women to make a difference in their life, work and world. And we do that through a number of different ways. We do that through online events, one-to-one coaching, and a series of workshops and conferences that we have going on. So we have a community of women around the world that are part of Aspire. And then we also have our Aspire Foundation Mentoring Program, which is an opportunity for women in charities and social enterprises to receive free mentoring to enable them to make a bigger difference in the work that they're doing. So our mentoring program is a fantastic initiative and a way for women and men to give back as mentors. Yes. And to really get that ripple effect of change and help to reach our goal to make a difference to the lives of 1 billion women and girls.
Yeah, definitely. And what a target that is. I mean, what whereabouts are you now in terms of reaching that goal, would you say?
Far away. You know, what is important to me, I mean, we have made a difference so far to nearly 17 million women. And now that's a massive number in itself. And, you know, if we had set the goal much smaller, we'd be over the moon. But we didn't know. We said, you know, there are 3.5 billion women in the world. If we really want to make a significant difference and see a change occur, then we need to reach a third of them, or nearly a third of them. Yeah. So, you know, we have this goal. Whether it's going to be 2020 or not, it's about creating a legacy and over time really seeing that difference being made. So yeah, there's a way to go, and the way that we will do that will be through our collaboration, through the use of technology. Yeah. And through the events we're doing and through the mentoring program.
Yeah, of course. And for you, what do you think has been one of the most sort of successful stories coming out of Aspire?
Oh Lord, there's been so many. There's so many. It's so wonderful. You know, when after 17 years as well, you sort of think that you don't want to hear them anymore. But I'm constantly hearing new stories, and what's really great, I've been living in America for 12 years and recently returned to live in England. So I've been able to do more events in England recently. And you know, I was doing an event week before last, or was it last week? I don't know, it's all a blur, but I was doing events recently and there were some women there that were saying, you know, you won't remember me, but, and they said, we were at your event like 9 years ago and, you know, now we're doing this and doing that and got my own business now, or I'm changing the planet, or I'm so much happier. You know, it's all, and then we're start speaking, I thought, oh yeah, I can. It starts all coming back, you know, it starts all flooding back, and you can remember who they were. So it's great when you've run an organization for a while. Mm-hmm. Although it does make me feel old sometimes, but or older I should say, but yeah, it's nice because and there's so many, you know, it was sort of 10, 15 years ago, a lot of women I worked with were perhaps more junior in their role. And now they're the chief of executives, you know, now they're on the board.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, in these power positions of influence, and which is great. You know, it's wonderful to see that what we're doing is working.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the biggest thing, that what you're doing at Aspire is actually working. You can see the difference. Those sort of small stories, when they come to you, obviously I'm sure you've influenced a lot of people, but it just makes it even more satisfying, I suppose, to realize that change is happening.
Yeah, it really does.
So in terms of, so Girls in Movement is looking to kind of mentor young girls from across the world when it comes to learn about technology and sort of building a business. What would you say is the sort of importance of mentoring from a young age?
Oh, really important. Actually, I just got off the phone. We've got our young mad leadership conference for girls coming up in a few weeks, and this is for girls age 11 to 18.
Right.
And we've taken the stand that we want the speakers at the conference, we want them to also be young girls. Yeah. So, you know, like, so young girls attending will be inspired by their peers, basically, who will also be speakers. And we did this last year as well. It went really well. And I was speaking to this young woman this morning. She's 18, And you know, she's like an anti-bullying campaigner, and she's done this and she's done that. She's 18. And I said, what is it you want to do? You know, what's the future hold for you? And she says she wants to be a mentor. And I thought, so cool. So she's not saying I want to be mentored. She's saying I want to be the mentor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty.
So I think that's really, really cool. So there's a massive importance in being mentored, and I think that can make a really big difference. And there's so many different models of mentoring now. It could, you know, the traditional model is someone kind of older, wiser in your field that's been there, seen it, done it, give you advice. But generationally, that's becoming a little bit more challenging now because the younger generation was so different. You know, so the gaps between generations are widening. So, you know, if you're 18 and being mentored by someone who's 50, you know, it's not always that, it can not always be that useful. Yeah. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So I like, you know, yeah, I like this whole like reverse mentoring, peer mentoring. I think that like, opening up different ways of mentoring by people the same age as you, or even being mentored by someone younger than you, I just think that's great. But I would also encourage young girls to think about how they can also be the mentor themselves.
Yeah, of course. No, it's really cool. So in terms of, I know you're involved in Women for Women and you're actually an ambassador for them, which I suppose has a huge influence on the work you're doing as well. Tell us about that project, what they're doing, and I suppose your influence really.
Well, I love Women for Women International. It's a global charity that empowers women survivors of war in countries like Rwanda, Sudan, and Kosovo. And it was actually the inspiration to begin the Aspire Foundation Mentoring Program was through understanding the work of Women for Women programs in Afghanistan. So when I understood about their work, I wanted to help them, wanted to make a difference. And they said to me that their biggest need was mentoring. So that's how we began and piloted the first mentoring program, which was with Women for Women International. And then I was lucky enough to personally mentor the executive director of Women for Women UK, Fernanda Schmidt, who is someone who's really going places and doing amazing, amazing things. And so I'm always someone who wants to advocate Women for Women's work, and particularly Britta's work, and really to sort of, to support the work that she does, and it's, you know, the feeling is mutual. I mean, she's an avid supporter of Aspire. I'm an avid supporter of Women for Women, and it's wonderful too. She's someone else, you know, I'm watching her now on Facebook, and she's like, you know, on Vogue and Vanity Fair, and she's on CNN, and she's on BBC. She's like, oh my god, this is amazing, you know, like a few years ago we were on a call and she was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this job. You know, of course you can, right? So it's just wonderful and inspiring to see her soar as much as she is, and to make the difference that she's making with all the usual constraints that you have when you are, you know, running a charity as opposed to a for-profit organization.
Yeah, no, it's huge as well, because obviously bringing this the kind of things that you're doing at Aspire and then obviously Women for Women, it's nice to bring it together, because I mean, from my understanding, you want to help people as well, and I think helping individuals in war-torn countries is another thing in itself. So yeah, it's amazing, it's really cool. I mean, what are the plans for 2018 then, Sam? So with Aspire, Women for Women, have you got anything exciting coming up?
You know, we have a full events calendar this year, which is really exciting. As I said, you know, recently come back to the UK, so it's wonderful to be able to really reconnect with the UK, do some work with the UK government, and work across the country in multiple industries and multiple companies, multiple not-for-profits. I love the work that we're doing to support boards who are, you know, mostly predominantly male boards who are really passionate now about wanting to have a diverse and inclusive workforce, which is, you know, their focus is often first focusing on women in leadership. So we've got a lot of expertise to bring, and I really love the work that we're doing there. We have I'm really looking forward to International Women's Day. I think it's going to be the biggest International Women's Day ever. So March 8th, it's not far away. We're going to be at the QE2 Centre in London. We have an amazing room which can take over 750 women in there. So it's going to be packed, jam-packed full of fantastic people who want to. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's half term this week, going away with the kids. That's going to be fun.
Love it.
So looking forward to that. That's in my most immediate future.
that and your bed, I bet. So, I mean, I love asking my guests all this question in itself. But if you could give your younger self any advice, what would it be?
I would say, I was like such a studious, quiet kid. I just loved to study.
Yeah.
And my sister was a bit of a rebel, and I sort of thought I had to be like her. I weren't allowed to get earrings until we 16, and she did it when she was 13. I was so shocked because I was like, I was so not the rule breaker, and I'm a bit of a rule breaker now. So I don't know if I would have said, I probably would have said, like, carry on, you're doing great. You know, I doubted myself a lot in those years and thought I had to be like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I liked to study, and I wasn't a big kind of party social kid. You know, I had like two best friends, and if they were off school because they were sick and I had to go into school, it was like traumatic for me because I had no one to talk to. So, you know. I think I would just kind of say it's okay. Like, if I hadn't studied that hard, I probably wouldn't been able to do the things I've done. You know, I went on to do a degree, then a master's, and then a PhD.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone else in my council estate did, to be honest.
Yeah.
And you know, I really did do some phenomenal things. So if I hadn't really studied as hard as I had then and put my head down and got on with things and enjoyed the things I was doing, then I probably would be where I am now. So I probably would have said, it's all cool. It's okay.
It's cool to study.
Don't eat so much chocolate. I would like sit there studying, like constantly eating chocolate. I probably said, like, don't eat so much chocolate there. Wow. Hold back on the chocolate. Studying's okay.
So, I mean, final sort of question. If there's people out there who want to start a business, I suppose, and they're at that phase of they have the idea, they've got a bit of a push, what would be one sort of tip when it comes to starting that business?
So know your strengths and know your weaknesses, I suppose. I think the things I would probably say is, and this might seem a bit countercultural, is don't listen to anybody else. Okay. Even if they're like your dad. Because the thing is, like, everybody's sort of got their opinion, and even if they like really love you and it's very well meaning, they're trying to protect you, and you know, they say things like, oh, you know, wait, you're not old enough, or mm-hmm. you don't know enough, and it's easy to believe them. You think, oh my god, you know, that's my dad, of course I'm going to believe him, and you know, dad might get upset, of course, if you don't and you carry on doing it anyway. So I would say, like, trust your gut and do it. Don't wait. I mean, you can, once you've decided, okay, I'm going to do this, then you can get lots of advice about how to do it. But the actual decision to do it or not, I wouldn't really ask that many people.
Yeah, of course, good. No, that's really good. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming onto the show and, of course, giving us sort of insight into how you've got to Aspire, kind of looking at Women for Women International as well. Of course, this podcast is now live on iTunes. I'll put all of Dr. Sam Collins's kind of social media all at the bottom of the YouTube as well. So thank you so much, Sam.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Love the work that you're doing, and long may it continue.
Yeah, thank you so much. So you.